what we're going to study as a very profound topic that is not often taught on, frankly. But we're going to consider what is called the divine decree, or more theologians perhaps call it the divine decrees, plural. This is unbelievably important. Everything flows from this.
Theologians use the term divine decree to describe God's eternal plan formulated before the foundation of the earth. And as we'll discover in the coming days here on the Truth Pulpit, it's a concept that will stretch your mind considerably. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and Pastor Don Green is about to embark on a series titled God's Eternal Plan. So, Don, what can we expect?
Well, Bill, what we hope to do in this series that's coming up this week is to dive into the deep things of God. You know, my friend, the Bible tells us that God has had a great plan for all of creation since before the beginning of time. And now, in time, He is working out His plan to accomplish His purposes. Let's put down our preconceived notions and pick up our Bibles and study Scripture today on the Truth Pulpit.
Okay, Don, and friend, have your Bible open and ready as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
When we say the divine decree or the divine decrees, we're talking about the same thing. I'll explain the distinction between the singular and the plural in just a moment. It's all a matter of perspective, not saying anything distinctive by the different numbers. But think about it this way. Think about a construction project, the construction of a modern office building. Contractors work according to previously prepared architectural plans. Somebody in their mind conceived what that building was going to look like before the first shovelful of dirt was turned over. And once the dirt was begun, then everything goes according to that blueprint. The blueprints guide the work, generally speaking. I realize there's change orders, but you get the basic point that I'm making. Let's think about it from that perspective as we consider the very opening book and the very opening verse of the Bible. Genesis 1:1 says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the simple question is this: did God have a plan in place for what would happen next? Did God have something that He was intending to do when He created the heavens and the earth? Before He ever spoke the first thing into existence, did He have in mind what was going to take place after that? And the biblical answer to that question is, yes, He did. And the theological name for the plan that God had in mind is called the divine decree. The divine decree is the plan of God. And if we can start with a definition going off of the book that we're using by Louis Burkhoff, just as kind of a starting point for us, material. Louis Burkhoff defines the decree of God like this: the decree of God is His eternal plan or purpose, in which He has foreordained all things that come to pass. I'll say that again. The decree of God is His eternal plan or purpose, in which He has foreordained all things that come to pass. What does that mean? Well, we could look at it this way. Let's assume that as I stand here looking forward at you, I'm looking into the future. If I turn my back to you and look behind me, I'm looking into the past. As I look back into the past, I see exactly what God had decreed from the moment of creation up until this point. The outworking of history is the unfolding of the decree of God, because He has decreed all things that would come to pass. And when something comes to pass, we realize that God determined that that would happen before He created the universe. It's a very profound subject. And let me just say this by a couple of things by way of encouragement. First of all, it is quite possible that some of us will leave with a headache because this strains the mind. No doubt about it. We should expect that, right? When we study the plan and the purposes of God, shouldn't we find things, shouldn't we expect to find things that are difficult to understand? When we, as a sinful, finite creature, peer into the mind of a holy, infinite, eternal God, shouldn't we expect to find things that go beyond our understanding? Of course we should. That's the nature of things. It's humbling by definition. And so if this stretches us a bit, that's okay. Let me encourage you to just try to get the sweep of what we're saying here and then go back and listen to it again. I have the advantage of having prepared this over time. You're hearing it for the first time and trying to get a drink out of a fire hydrant. I understand that. And so, you know, let's be patient with ourselves as we come to this and let this kind of sink in like a steady rain sinking into dry ground so that it could find its mark and have its fullest effect on us. This is unbelievably important. Everything flows from this. Now, with that said, let me say one other thing and tie it to a doctrine that we have often taught in the past and that we refer to often in the Life of Truth community, so much so that it becomes a regular part of conversation in our lives, in our fellowships. And I praise God for that. I thank God for that. We have often taught, and we'll teach again in a few weeks, on the doctrine of divine providence. And in the doctrine of divine providence, we have said that God is at work in absolutely everything that happens in the universe. He sustains and upholds his universe, and he directs all things to accomplish his purpose, so that everything that happens is under the providential guiding hand of God. Now, providence relates to the divine decree in this way. Providence is God working out his divine decree. In the divine decree, God determined in his mind in a single eternal act, not in successive stages, but he determined everything that would happen going forward. Providence, as it unfolds in time, providence is the outworking of that in time under the hand of God, so that providence corresponds in symmetrical perfection to the divine decree. That's all. Providence has a purpose behind it, and that purpose is the decree of God. Now, so we say that God determined beforehand everything that would happen in the universe. It's a comprehensive, unlimited statement that we're making here. Now, the question is, does Scripture teach such a complete sovereignty and foreordination of God? And the answer to that question is yes, it does. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, for example. This is just an introductory text, and then we'll unfold this with 7 points that follow in rapid succession. One of the things about teaching on the divine decree is that I can stand up here and know that God decreed that I would teach on this topic before the beginning of time. That's one of the outworkings and applications of this. That doesn't guarantee the inerrancy of everything that I say, but God appointed me to teach this tonight here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and he appointed your presence here before the beginning of time to hear it at precisely this time in your life. All of a sudden, all of life becomes a pretty remarkable and holy exercise when we realize that we are living under a divine plan that is working itself out to perfection. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 8, God says this in verse 8. He says, "Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me." And look at what he says there in verse 10. "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure." From the beginning, God declared what would happen, and he knew that it would happen because he was in perfect sovereign control of it all. And his purpose will be established. Think about it from this perspective, beloved. One of the things that causes us to respect and revere the Scripture is the whole dynamic of fulfilled prophecy, that God, centuries before events took place in the course of time, declared exactly what would happen. Think about the many prophecies of Christ that were fulfilled, even though they were made centuries beforehand. How was it God able to do that? It's not simply because he knew, but he determined that it would happen, and he saw the end from the beginning as creation was spoken into existence. And so it was a certainty that Judas would betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver. It was a certainty that Christ would be crucified. It was a certainty that he would be born in Bethlehem to a virgin. And because it was certain, that's how the prophets were able to speak about it centuries in advance as they spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, let's just unpack this really quickly with seven different aspects of the divine decree. I have relied in large part on the work of S. Lewis Johnson and Charles Hodge in what I have to say. I've kind of rephrased their points. S. Lewis Johnson followed Charles Hodge extremely closely when you compare the two, but that's neither here nor there. There are other sources that I looked at, but these were especially influential in the way that I presented it here to you. First of all, what can we say about the divine decrees? I'm going to use the plural, even though we should think about it as a single decree, because God did it all in one great comprehensive act of his eternal mind. First of all, we say it this way. First point is that the decrees are diverse and yet they are one. The decrees are diverse and yet they are one. And what we mean by that is simply this. There is a unity and a diversity to the decrees of God. There's a diversity in this sense. Think about it this way. There are countless, over the course of time, since the beginning of creation, there have been countless events, billions upon billions of people that have lived and died and are living now. There is a diversity to that. Then there is a complete diversity to those countless people and events. It's like there is an infinite jigsaw puzzle is being put together over the course of time. And so it is extremely diverse, and yet it's one puzzle, so to speak. It's not a puzzle in a sense that God has to figure anything out. I'm just using an illustration that there is everything is interlocked in it. There is a unity to the divine decree, and yet it is comprehensive of everything that happens. And you see this in a crucial passage from the Apostle Paul. Look over at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 says, as you're turning there, God made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. A comprehensive statement about what Paul has in mind, all things in Christ, things in the heaven and things on the earth. And he goes on to say, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Watch this, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. All things, plural. All things in heaven and on earth, all things, it says, God is working those out according to the counsel, singular, of his will, singular. God has a singular will that comprehensively embraces everything in heaven and on earth. And he is working all of that out according to his divine knowledge. That is a statement and an expression of the divine decree. And so, you can speak of one decree, Remember, our point here that we're discussing right now is the decrees are diverse and yet they are one. You can speak of one decree because it emphasizes the unified plan of God and that he did this all in an instant, so to speak. God did not work this out progressively in his mind over time. It was an instantaneous mental deliverance of the plan. Or you can speak about it as the divine decrees to show that all things are covered by it. I'm using the term decrees in deference to the greater and more established theologians who use the plural when they talk about this. The decrees are diverse, and yet they are one. Now, secondly, the decrees are eternal. The decrees are eternal. And as we dive deeper into these things, it's like we're diving off a Mexican cliff deep into the waters below, and we're diving deep into waters that cannot be fully exhausted. We're going into the very mind and plan of God as we say these things. The decrees are eternal. What we mean by that is this, is that God planned the course of the universe before time began. When Scripture records Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you can think about it this way. Before Genesis 1:1, God had determined what was going to happen. And then when he created things, the plan was already in place. The outcome was already determined for everything that would ever occur. And so you can see indications of this in a few New Testament passages. You're in Ephesians chapter 1. That's a good place to be. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where Paul, praising God, which is always the appropriate response to his self-revelation and self-disclosure, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him." Before the foundation of the world, God chose us in Christ. God determined who the saved would be before time began. He had that plan in place. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, you can turn there. All that we're looking at right now is the fact that God's plan is rooted in eternity before time began. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And if you think about it, beloved, I mean, these things work out in time. These things work out in time, and there's this unfolding of the plan. We'll talk about this. God uses means in order to bring us to Christ. It means that everyone that was involved in leading you to Christ, those who taught the gospel to you, perhaps a godly parent, perhaps a friend who handed you a tract, all of that was determined before time began, that precisely those people would be used by God in order to lead you to faith in Christ in time. This goes everywhere. It is absolutely comprehensive. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. According to his purpose, according to his grace, granted to us in Christ, when? From all eternity. The decree was eternal. It was established before creation. And as you read in Scripture, these things are so assumed, they're just embedded in narratives even. God's eternal decree, his plan for the ages, included the cross of Christ at the hands of godless men. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Again, we are just talking about the fact that the decrees are eternal right now. Acts chapter 2, we'll start at verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Christ was crucified according to a predetermined plan that God had established before the beginning of time. The whole nature of the atonement, the whole nature of substitution, the whole nature of the incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ was determined to happen before time began. And so, when we realize that the decrees are eternal, when we realize the biblical teaching on providence, which we've looked at so many times in the past, you can make this very simple statement. God, by his great power and wisdom, is moving all things wisely forward according to his purpose. And that has a very significant implication for us to understand. This changes what I'm about to say, changes everything. This is not a cosmic game of chess where God moves one piece and waits to see how you respond or how Satan responds, and then, you know, he'll determine his next move. And so there's this, he moves forward a little bit, and then Satan, and then he's moving forward, determining his reactions based on what happens in time. No, God planned it all in advance. God determined all the moves instantly in eternity past. And now in time, we simply watch it unfold and participate as we live our lives. The decrees are eternal. They are rooted in things before time. Open theism is a rank heresy, the idea that God is learning things as he goes along and God is responding to things like we are in our own lives. That's absolutely false. That is a total denial of the character of God. That has nothing to do with Christianity, no matter what seminary the men who propagate it teach at. Now, thirdly, we could say that the decrees are immutable, by which we mean the decrees are unchanging. God's plan does not change based on the unfolding events of time or history or upon the whims of man. Look over at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. What should the response of you and I and all men everywhere be? Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world, look at the comprehensive nature of that. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. God had plans in his mind when he created the heavens and the earth by the word of his mouth. And it moves forward and it stands unchanged as generation comes and generation goes. As one generation wave falls upon the beach and withdraws, another generation comes. The purpose of God stands immutable, unchanging, moving forward with an absolute certainty that is guaranteed by the providential sovereign hand of God. Never to be contradicted, never to be changed, never to be diminished. In eternity past, God determined everything that would happen, and because he is an unchanging, immutable God, there would be no change in the outworking of his plan. It doesn't matter if nations rise up against him. It doesn't matter if the whole world apostatizes and turns against Christ. God's plan will move forward unchanged.
Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green has given us the first three of seven aspects of the divine decree. Don will complete the list on our next program, so be sure to join us then here on the Truth Pulpit. But right now, here's Don with some exciting ministry news.
Well, my friend, it's always meaningful for me to be able to preach God's Word to God's people and to share it with you here on the radio. Recently, I completed a series that is one of my all-time favorites. It's called The Bible and Roman Catholicism. It was several messages designed to test Catholic teaching by what Scripture says. We'd like to share a copy of that with you, a full, complete CD album of 10 messages. Just go to our website and request it, or you'll find the downloads. We just want you to have this material at no cost as our gift and ministry to you.
Thanks, Don. And friend, as Don mentioned, visit us at thetruthpulpit.com to learn more. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright. Join us again next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.